Welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Muncie Three Trails Music Series opens this season on June 25th at Minnetrista with Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. The series moves to Cannon Commons in downtown Muncie in July, September, and October with the Steel Drivers, Junior Brown, and Joe Lewis Walker. This is the Steel Drivers we're listening to. Rick Ziegler, a former rock musician whose band opened for people like U2 and Elvis Costello, is director of the series.
We're in our third year, and what we do is we bring in critically acclaimed national recording artists and artists who are currently creating new music and recording it. We aren't looking for nostalgia acts. There's lots of places to see them. We're more looking for, as I said, national recording artists who are currently creating and will provide really good musical experiences.
How do you get acts like that to Muncie?
Well, you pay them, for one. Given my background, I owned a record store for 20 years, and I did some booking. And so I was familiar with what types of acts would be really good to bring and who I would think would be affordable. So I would just get in contact with booking agents, and some of them, you know, the price would be more outlandish than what I thought. But mostly I've been on the mark and being able to bring in the people I want.
Tell us about the lineup this summer.
This summer is our strongest lineup of the 3 years by far. The first concert will be Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. Bela Fleck is considered to be the best banjo player in the world. He's won 15 Grammys, 40 Grammy nominations. He's been nominated in more categories than any other artist in Grammy history. And his wife, Abigail Washburn, is an Americana artist, but with a twist in that she not only does sort of Americana, country, pop type things, she also incorporates world music, in particular Chinese, into her works. Her albums sometimes contain like bluegrass songs sung in Chinese or Chinese songs done in bluegrass style. Very unique.
Then you have the Steel Drivers coming in July.
Yeah. The second act is the Steel Drivers, a critically acclaimed bluegrass band, probably the only bluegrass band whose music has been on American Idol and covered by Adele. But, I mean, they've won Grammys. They've won Americana Music Association Awards. I've seen them two or three times. They're just a great act. After that, Indiana Michigan Power is the sponsor for our next act, and that is Junior Brown. Junior is perhaps best known as the inventor of the Git Steel guitar, which combines a regular electric guitar with a pedal steel guitar. It's being used fairly frequently now, but he is the inventor. He's put out 12 albums. He's continuing to record. He just did all the theme song and incidental music for Better Call Saul, the Breaking Bad spinoff. And he's won Grammys. He's won IBMA Awards, Bluegrass Music Awards. Very talented. And then concluding the series this year will be Joe Lewis Walker, who last year was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame. He's a two-time WC Handy Award winner, three-time Grammy winner, and his latest album, Hellfire, in 2012, received the Best Blues Album Award from Blues Critics.
How did this series come about? I mean, this seems like a great location. You have a venue right downtown.
It was the venue that caused the creation of the series, because when I drove by once the Cannon Commons performance stage was completed right downtown, I just looked at it and I said, this is a world-class performance stage. Any national act would be happy to be on this stage. And that's when I thought of the idea of, well, I sort of know what type of acts would be good to bring and who I think would be affordable. And so I went to Muncie Downtown Development Partnership, which oversees Cannon Commons, and pitched the idea to them. And they were very enthusiastic about it. Then I went to the Muncie Arts and Culture Council to get other arts organizations involved and to help get the word out. They were very enthusiastic about it. Then the tricky part, raising the money. But I went to the foundations around town, and I don't know how many people know this, but Muncie has an outstanding tradition of philanthropy through the foundations, through the Ball Brothers and the Community Foundation. They were very enthusiastic about it and agreed to fully fund the series for its first few years, with the idea that if it was going to become a permanent fixture, we'd have to get businesses to climb on board. And this year, for the first time, I went around to businesses, and I was very gratified by the amount of support we got.
Indiana Michigan Electric.
Yes, as being one. But the banks around town, community storage, just a number of different
I can guess, but tell me why they're signing up. This isn't just, as you said, a bunch of cover bands or something like that, or a beer fest or something.
Well, I think there's two reasons. And one is it's because of the quality of the acts and the musical experiences that we're having. But also, I mean, the actual goal of the series is twofold. And the first is to present great concerts. But the second is to promote attractions that Muncie already has. And because of that, our slogan for the series is explore the trails, enjoy the music, Muncie Three Trails Music Series. What we try to do is we try to promote the White River Greenway Trail, the Cardinal Greenway Trail, and the Muncie Arts and Culture Trail, and then all the other attractions located near them, such as almost all the city parks fall along one of those three trails. Minnetrista, David Owsley Museum, Cornerstone, just about 80% of the population lives within a mile of one of those three trails, and so we're just trying to promote that. And we've been really happy with our success in that. We didn't know how that would go, but we ask questions. We do surveys for the audience before each concert, and we ask them, you know, have you done anything before you attended the concert? And, of course, you know, a little under half say they went to a restaurant, and a little under half say they went shopping normal. But the outstanding thing so far is that about a quarter have said they went to a museum or a gallery prior to the concert, and 20% said that they walked one of the trails. So the combination of promoting the trails and the things along them and the concerts, that's been the goal, and it seems to be working so far.
That is Rick Ziegler, director of the Muncie Three Trails Music Series at Cannon Commons. Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn will be among the performers. That's who you're hearing now. The series is now in its third year and is dedicated to presenting critically acclaimed national recording artists over the course of four concerts. More details are at Muncie3TrailsMusicSeries.org. What you won't find there is information about ticket sales. All the concerts are free.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook, drop us a line, let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
So I'm picking up sort of a bluegrass theme in the selection of the artists this year. Is there a reason for that?
I would have to say yes and no. But I'll say yes in that I'm a bluegrass aficionado.
You don't have to agree with me. I just noticed three of these four people seem to have Bela, the Steel Drivers,
Junior Brown, not so much. She's more of a straight country. But I'm a bluegrass aficionado, and to be perfectly honest, bluegrass artists tour all the time, and they aren't that expensive, even the really good ones. Bela Fleck is an exception to that. We were able to bring him to Muncie. I mean, Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn on this tour, they've been playing Carnegie Hall. They go to Europe, playing all the gigantic festivals. And the reason why we were able to bring them is because in my previous life as a music store owner, I saw Abigail Washburn perform, and I really liked her and got to know her. And I actually booked her first headlining concert ever at Radio, of all places, in Indianapolis, sort of a rock club. But it was very successful. I got to know her. We became friends. And this was before she and Bela Fleck were married. And so I just asked, would you consider coming here at a discount rate, to help us get this series off the ground? And they agreed.
Your background includes not only owning a music store, you were a musician yourself. You were in a group.
I was a musician, songwriter for many years. I've always been enamored of music ever since I was little. I saw Jimi Hendrix in Muncie when I was 11. Yes, Jimi Hendrix in Muncie at the fairgrounds. Dick Clark's American Bandstand when I was a little kid, and you know, I've just always been interested in music.
That's always been my first love. You were on American Bandstand, or you were in the audience?
To the field house, and I wish I was on American Bandstand, but before my time.
You played with the group in the 1960s and 70s.
In the 1970s, I played with the group on the East Coast. We were called Action Faction. We never got any recordings out there for sale, but we were successful enough where we opened for U2 on their first tour. We opened for Elvis Costello, Los Lobos, a lot of English groups like Gang of Four and The Jam and places like groups like that. So that was fun for a while.
Did you meet Bono?
Met him, yes. Talked to him, not really.
What's Elvis Costello like?
That person we didn't meet. He keeps to himself, for sure. Or at least he did at that time.
So there it was in the 70s, and you're doing all this playing and everything. How much of that stays with you now as you are looking at putting together a series like this? Do you still have friends in the business? I mean, you mentioned Abigail Washburn, for example, although you don't know her from your playing days. But, I mean, are there anybody that you played with, or you still stay in touch with folks like that?
No, I have to say not. That was, well, you know, it's been about 40 years almost. Hard to believe. Okay. And it was on the East Coast rather than being in the Midwest. That was where all our things were. So I have to say no, most of my knowledge and contacts have come through owning Music Store for 20 years.
You know, there's a phenomenon where people come back home sometimes after wandering the world or doing, other things. I mean, people have returned to Muncie. People have returned to their homes.
I'm part of that phenomenon.
Tell me about that.
Well, after going to college on the East Coast and then being in the band, then we moved out to Salt Lake City, Utah for a while. That's where I opened the record store initially out there. And then we moved back to Indiana for personal reasons, educational reasons for our son. I lived just outside of Indianapolis for a while. But my family has had a foundation in Muncie, the Sherman and Marjorie Ziegler Foundation, which has been focused on enhancing natural beautification in the parks. They were instrumental in developing and building the White River Greenway. And so I've been a part of that for the last 20 years, and just recently, as my mom's health has started to decline, I've taken that over, and that is the reason why we actually moved back to Muncie. And one of the first, you know, as we were preparing to move back, that was around the same time the Cannon Commons performance stage was built, and I thought, boy, it'd be great if I could continue, even though I won't be owning a music store anymore, to be able to continue to use my knowledge of music in some way for the benefit of the city, and that's the idea that hit me.
Some cities have very signature music festivals attached to them. Some really, really well known, right? Do you see potential for this to grow right now? It's foundation supported largely. You're seeing some encouraging signs of businesses wanting to participate. Can this grow?
That's the objective. I mean, the objective is to make this a signature sort of musical concert event. Not just for Muncie, but for Indiana. I mean, this event is completely unique in the state, and that there is no other concert series that features national recording artists who are currently creating new music for free. I mean, the one thing we haven't mentioned is all the concerts are free, and you aren't going to be able to see Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn for free. Their tickets are usually around $50, and that's the case for any of these groups, Junior Brown, Joe Louis Walker. So we're trying to create this as a signature, unique series in Indiana where you can see all the, you know, these great, critically acclaimed, Grammy-winning artists for free. And one of the reasons we wanted it to be for free is to attract people to Muncie from outside our area who might think of driving up thinking, well, I don't have the expense of actually having to buy tickets. I can spend the money on gas, eat at a restaurant, maybe see what Muncie's got to offer, and then go to the concert.
Rick Ziegler, who saw Jimi Hendrix perform in Muncie. He was 11 years old. That was at the Delaware County Fairgrounds in, can you guess the year? Ziegler, who became a musician himself and later a record store owner, is in his third year as director of the Muncie Three Trails Music Series, which is bringing Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn to Minnetrista on June 25th. In July, September, and October, the series continues with the Steel Drivers, Junior Brown, and Joe Louis Walker at Cannon Commons in downtown Muncie. Details at Muncie3TrailsMusicSeries.org.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
So we've talked about bluegrass. Is that what we would describe Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn as?
I want to say that Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn aren't really bluegrass anymore. That's where Bela Fleck started.
Okay.
But they really, it's hard to define what they are. I mean, I would put them in the Americana category of anything, but they're, a lot of their stuff is very jazzy, where they're trading licks, you know, between themselves. A little bit of it's pop. That's Abigail Washburn's influence as a songwriter. There's some bluegrass, but I would describe it more as Americana or as genreless. I mean, they just cover the gamut.
So this isn't a bluegrass event specifically, but I am reminded that there is the Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival in southern Indiana.
Which I've been to.
Started by Bill Monroe, the founder, right?
I've been down there many times. That place is great. Beautiful venue, nice amphitheater, great trees. And I mean, the bluegrass acts that I bring here, I have most likely seen down there at one time or another. But we're really focused in this series of bringing in the diversity of genres. We've had Iris DeMent, who is a critically acclaimed Americana artist. We're bringing Joe Louis Walker, Blues Hall of Famer, and we've had other great blues artists in, like Otis Taylor, Dar Williams, folk artist, played our first concert last year. Junior Brown is country. We've had the Rebirth Brass Band in, New Orleans Jazz. We've had Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys in, who gave a great show. That's Cajun music. And like we talked about, Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn are sort of their own genre in and of themselves.
Is the Three Trails angle new this year, or has that always been the series?
We've always called ourselves the Muncie Three Trails Music Series, trying to give that as the hook and a way to show that it's not just about music, but it's about the trails and therefore about Muncie and promoting Muncie along with the music.
Now, there's a lot of talk lately about trying to achieve a sense of place in communities, with the idea being that if you provide the amenities that make a community a fun place to live in, a vigorous cultural life, you improve the economic prospects. Has that come up at all in any of the, in other words, this is good for Muncie. I mean, it's nice that you're doing this for people, but it's also good for the downtown. It's good for the community to have something like this.
You're right on the mark with that analysis. I mean, the sense of place, you know, is a phrase that is used all the time in regards to this series, both in my going to the foundations and asking for money and approaching businesses. If I don't mention it, they usually mention it, saying this sounds like it'd be really good for Muncie in terms of building a sense of place. And again, that's part of, you know, wanting to promote Muncie as well as the music, and making the series something unique in the state helps make Muncie a little more unique and hopefully attractive to people.
Now, as you do this, and this is your third year, what's been the reaction of these acts when they come to Muncie? They play all over the place. What do they think of them?
I think it's been great. It's sort of hard to tell. Nobody's going to, you know, tell you, oh, this was terrible, I didn't like it, or so that's not. But I think it's been really great. I mean, you know, all of these acts have never been here before. There hasn't been one act that we brought in that has played in Muncie before, and so it's a new city to them. And like I said, they're very enamored of Cannon Commons stage for a town our size. There's very few towns our size that have that. And it's going to be nice when the new hotel opens up, you know, basically right across the street from the performance stage, because that'll be a nice place where the bands can stay. And I'm looking forward to that. I think that will help improve the image of Muncie in the artist's eyes. I do a lot of work to try to make sure that the bands are very happy with everything, because you want to book more bands. And, you know, bands talk to one another, promoters talk to one another. And so you get the word out about this is a good place to play. They keep their word. They do what they say they're going to do. That's what we've done so far.
I'll bet a lot of us have driven by Cannon Commons and not seen it the way you see it, right? What is it about this space that acts are going to like and that people coming to the show are going to like?
Well, the first thing is it's right downtown. You don't find very many large performance venues, outdoor performance venues, no less, that are in the middle of town. The stage is quite large. Through my work with the Sherman and Marjorie Ziegler Foundation, I actually had a hand in helping design that stage, because the initial design, when I looked at it and when people told me what they were thinking they wanted, which was a place where they could bring in bands, I don't think they were thinking the kind of bands I was thinking of, but bringing in bands, I said, this stage is just too small. It's not going to work. There aren't any place for overhead lights. Where are you going to put speakers? And so I went down to the Rundell Ernstberger, the design firm that helped create the stage, and we worked on the design. And when they completed the stage and I saw it, the stage is very large. It's got beautiful lighting. It's got great acoustics. The curved roof was acoustically designed. You know, beautiful grounds with rain gardens and the like. It's just a great performance venue for any artist.
One of the interesting things to me is this idea that people do return home. You may find that you appreciate Indiana after you've been somewhere else, you know, when you've grown up in a place.
Right.
The town that we're in or going to school in, well, that's, you know, kind of see the world a little bit, and then you see the place with new eyes to you.
Well, I will say that when I left, your description about who wants to be here, you know, this is boring, is completely accurate. But in the late 80s, essentially after they built Minnetrista, when I came back to Muncie one year and I saw it to visit, and I saw Minnetrista, it sort of reoriented my whole idea of how Muncie was handling itself, I guess you would say. It seemed to me like, wow, there's obviously a core group of people here who really care deeply about Muncie, are willing to put their money where their mouth is and making something really special.
Rick Ziegler, director of the Muncie Three Trails Music Series, which opens at Minnetrista on June 25th with Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. Then the series moves to Cannon Commons starting in July with the Steel Drivers, Junior Brown and Joe Lewis Walker, who you're hearing now. Details at Muncie3TrailsMusicSeries.org. The series is dedicated to presenting critically acclaimed national recording artists, all free. And in a city remaking itself block by block, it could be that there's more than just music happening with this event. Oh, and Jimi Hendrix in Muncie, that was 1968. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.